Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Today I'll be reading in the King James Version, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. It says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Amen.
Amen. Just in case you didn't know, that's Mrs. Pedro McKnight, Jr. right there.
Amen.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. Amen. Shall we bow our heads? Dear God, today we invite you into your house of worship here this morning. Today we invite you into this, your holy sanctuary. We humbly ask you to come and meet with your children. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to believe. Teach us how to survive and to thrive in this sinful world. Please lift us up, inspire us, develop us, and meet our basic needs. Please, dear God, hear and answer our prayers. As our faces are different, our ethnic backgrounds may be different, our challenges and temptations are different, the solution remains the same. That is Jesus. Amen. Oh Jesus, we humbly bow our heads, close our eyes, and submit our petitions before your throne of grace. With confidence, we claim your promises. Right now, dear God, please behind me, behind the cross, as I stand between the gap of this sinful world and your promises and your word, allow the word spoken here this morning to transform our hearts, minds, and souls. Please do not let any distractions deny us from receiving your word, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The title of our message this morning is called The Bridge. It's called The Bridge. The bridge is defined as a structure spanning and providing a passage over a river, a chasm, or a road, or things of the like. The nautical definition of a bridge is a definition of a raised transverse platform from which a powered vessel can be navigated underneath. In dentistry, a bridge is an artificial replacement to fix or remove a missing tooth or teeth, supported by natural roots and teeth from your own bridge, your gum line. In music, a bridge is a thin fixed wedge or support raising the strings of a musical instrument to the surrounding board. In a musical bridge is also defined a transitional passage connecting sections of a composition or movement. The Godfather of Soul, James Brown, numerous times used to say before he reached his crescendo, his zenith or apex of his song, he used to say, "Take it to the bridge." The bridge is extremely useful. It allows you to pass over troubled waters, obstacles, or barriers. A bridge can connect you from where you are to where you need to go. Amen?
Amen.
When you're lost and there is a disconnect, a bridge can make your path shorter and more direct. When a bridge is closed or washed out, it adds significant time to your journey or trip. Last night on our way here to church, Mike and I were coming down Ontario Street, and the Ontario Street Bridge was cut off. The police guided us through People's Island. We went through People's Island, and the People's Island Bridge was cut off. We had to come back down to Ontario Street and go up to Cohoes and go all the way around through Cohoes to Waterford to cut through the bridge. It added another 20 minutes to our journey. In ancient times, times of antiquity, centuries long ago, numerous cities were fortified with walls that surrounded the city, and the only entrance into the city was through and crossing a bridge. High walls surrounded this city, and sometimes sections of the walls came tumbling down from decay or neglect, making the inhabitants of the city vulnerable to attack. Strong men would stand in the gap to protect the sleeping citizens. At a time of national apostasy, God told Ezekiel, taken from our scripture reading this morning, please look that up, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Once you found it, please say amen. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. The King James Version says, "And I sought a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." The New International Version reads, "I look for a man among them who would build up a wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so what I would not have to destroy it. But I found none." So he permitted the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem. It's devastated Judah and take his people captive. This is in Ezekiel. Our theme this year is to watch and pray. Jesus is coming again. Watch and pray. Jesus is coming again. There are a variety of prayers. There's not just one type of prayer. There are a variety of prayers. Prayers of praise. Prayers seeking forgiveness. Prayers of faith. Prayers of thankfulness. But today we're going to focus on a prayer which connects us to God and our fellow man. This is called an intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer requires an intercessory. Amen? An intercessory prayer and the intercessor crosses over the catechisms of guilt, crosses over feelings of neglect, crosses over years of pain, of devastation, crosses over mistakes that you've made, crosses over challenges that you have, crosses over your fear and guilt, crosses over and connects the penitent man to his fellow man, the sinner, and connects them to God's word and God's promises. The bridge. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is unique and most powerful weapon in the life of a Christian. The Bible is full of intercessors, powerful intercessors. Intercessory prayer requires an individual who has a connection to God well beyond the compass of their own limitation. It pierces through the promises of God and hopes for a better tomorrow. It hopes for what if God answers my prayer? What if I'm faithful? What if I'm committed? What if I lift up my brother and sister in Christ and claim his promises? Intercessory prayer is unique because you're not just praying for yourself, you're praying on behalf of someone who may be at times challenged and ill-equipped from grief. When you lose a loved one, sometimes you can't wrap your mind around things. Sometimes you're clouded with memories of what if, and I hope I should have done this. You're clouded by missed opportunities. You're clouded by, man, I can't redo that again. I wish I hadn't said that. You're clouded by memories. You're in a point now where you can wish you can do a do-over, but you can't do it over. But guess what? You got to see it through. And many times people are left on the other side of the bridge. We fail to pick them up. We fail to carry them over, not physically, but by prayer. Everyone is not equipped to be an intercessor. Let me let you know this. Everyone is not equipped to offer prayer for another brother and sister. Because if you don't know what you claim to know, that prayer is powerless. You need to have a personal connection with Jesus. And in order to be an intercessor, you need to have daily communion, daily connection, daily fellowship with Jesus. There have been great intercessors in the Bible who were bold, who were convicted, who were inspired and had internal intestinal fortitude that was not based upon themselves, but based upon what God had promised. It was based upon God's integrity. It was based upon God's character. The most powerful intercessors look beyond themselves and look squarely to Jesus. Abraham bargained at length with God on behalf of Sodom's wicked people. Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through chapter 19, verses 29. He was an intercessor. Moses pleaded for the rebellious Israel, willing that his own name be blotted out of the book of life in order that they may live. Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 and 32. Paul suffered such agony over his nation's rejection of Jesus that he was willing to be cursed for its sake. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 4, an intercessor, creating a bridge, intercessory prayer. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Let's look that up. That's in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Once you find it, please say amen. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews is in the New Testament. It is before Peter, chapter 7, after Philemon. Once you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
It says, wherefore ye is able also to save them to the what? Uttermost, that come unto God by him, seeing he liveth to make what? Intercession for them. Today we're going to learn about another powerful intercessor who continuously made intercessions for his people. His name was Daniel. Now, let me tell you something. An intercessor is an individual who, despite the circumstances, do not give up. An intercessor is an individual, despite the state that they find themselves, do not give up the ghost. The intercessor is an individual who can look beyond his or her present condition and see life in God's promises and hold on to the point that he can uplift his neighbor. An intercessor is an individual who's been there and done that.
Amen.
Don't give me a rookie who claims to be an intercessor. You can't be a lifeguard unless you know how to swim. Amen? An intercessor must be able to get in the water, do the cross stroke, backstroke if needs be, butterfly, breaststroke. He has to be able to swim. An intercessor is not a neophyte. An intercessor is a person who can teach, show, inspire, uplift, and lead. As a member of the royal family, Daniel grew up in the court of King Josiah. As a child, he had no doubt read the book of Deuteronomy. And newly discoveries were made every day, not one day, but every day. After the king had lost his reign during the wicked reign of King Manasseh, 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 14, and Deuteronomy chapter 31, I'm going to invite you to read these on your own, verses 24 through 26. As he heard King Josiah pledge to follow the Lord and obey the words of the covenant written in the book, 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 31, his young heart must have been thrilled with resolve to do the same. We learned this morning in our Sabbath school class that a leader has profound influence over his people. If a leader decides to do the right thing, guess what? The people will follow. That's why fathers in the home following Jesus is critical. That's why leaders in our country follow Jesus is critical. The boy Daniel must have heard Jeremiah plead with the people and Judah to return to their divine husband. This is found in Jeremiah chapter 3. And he must have been dismayed by their stubborn resistance. When Daniel was a teenager, a tragic event occurred. King Josiah died in a battle. Daniel must have mourned deeply along with Jeremiah and all the other people. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, 23 through 25. Josiah's successors, however, were weak men who rebelled against the rising power of Babylon, provoking Nebuchadnezzar and his armies to enter Jerusalem, plunder the temple, and capture some hostages, from the royal family, and take them approximately 480 miles into captivity. This brief description is how Daniel was raised and the circumstances upon which he was brought into Babylon. But from that young age, he never forgot his upbringing. From that young age, he was never put in a position where he would just say, you know, I give up. For you see, shortly after that moment, Daniel and his three friends were tried and tested. Faith was extended and elastic. Their faith was tried and tested upon who they would worship, and they were cast into the fiery furnace. That was early in his life. Later in his life, he saw the handwriting on the wall. We know the story. His friends did not submit and bow down. They were spared. Add 20 to 25 to 30 years to this, he sees the handwriting on the wall. He was the only high counselor, I'm not going to call him a priest, but he was the only advisor to the king who could be able to interpret the handwriting on the wall because he was a servant of the Most High. Later on in his life, these are experiences that now span every 20 to 25 years. Later on in his life, you know the story. There was jealousy because he was made governor over all of Babylon, second only to the king himself. They were jealous of him. And what did they do? Because of his obedience, they set up a ruse devised that nobody should worship anything but worship the king. And he was now cast into the lion's den. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is that every trial and every tribulation makes you stronger. Every trial and tribulation makes you stronger. You can't get to Z unless you pass LMNOP. If you skip them, you won't know them. If you skip them, you won't understand them. And if you skip them, you will lose valuable, tangible evidence of God's providence. The year is 539 BC. It was a tumultuous time in Daniel's life. He's now in his 80s. He was captive at approximately 17 years old. He witnessed the fall of Babylon under the midnight attack of the Persians and the ascent of Darius the Mede to the throne. Darius showed extraordinary confidence in Daniel by inducting him into the government with the intention of making him prime minister. The political feuding caused by this plan nearly cost Daniel his life. That's the story I just told you about. Daniel being cast into the lion's den. But the lion's den, the fiasco is over. The deceit and the deceptors of the king were cast into the lion's den themselves. In the midst of this turmoil, Daniel's heart grew heavy with a deeper concern. What was to become of his people? From Jeremiah's prophecy, he believed that the time had come for the Jews to return to their homeland. It was after 70 years, Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. Let's read that. Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah is before Ezekiel, which is before Daniel. Chapter 29, verses 25, excuse me. I'm sorry. Verses 11 and 12. Once you found it, please say amen. Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetually desolation. Daniel always hoped that he would be restored back to his homeland. His desire was never to die in Babylon. His desire was to see Jerusalem rebuilt and restoration to be made. To the aging Daniel, hoping for a speedy restoration of his people, city, and sanctuary, this was a bitter disappointment. He seemed to have thought that the 70-year captivity would be prolonged because of his people's sin. Imagine we had a camera lens that could look into the past. Notice Daniel's study on the second floor of his home in the palace grounds. Daniel had extensive library, extensive articles, extensive scriptures, scrolls. That's what he had back then, probably. I don't think they had bound books, they had scrolls. He imagined that his life would not end this way. So Daniel decided, I need to pray. Now, there's certain parts of a prayer, an intercessory prayer, that is unique, that is special, that is necessary. First, we need to acknowledge our sinful nature and our sinful ways. We need to acknowledge that. Let's look at this prayer. This is Daniel chapter 9. Turn back two more books, Daniel chapter 9. We're going to spend a brief moment this morning going through this prayer. Then we're going to go into essence of what was unique and special about this. I'm reading out of the King James Version, Daniel chapter 9. Does everyone have it? In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. Verse 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princesses, and our fathers, and to all the peoples of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways, which he set before us by his servant the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the laws of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, what he spake against us and against our judges, and judged us by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. Let's stop right here for a moment. Daniel is not trying to make anything special of himself or his people. Daniel is recognizing not only his sinful state, but recognizing that we have done sin and iniquity. Do you know what iniquity is? Anyone knows what iniquity is? Iniquity is committing the same sin over and over and over and over and over and over again, knowing that you're doing it. Iniquity is falling down and continually to fall down. Know that you're falling down, to get up, to fall down over again. Iniquity is intentional, woeful sin. All of us have done it. All of us probably have bad habits that we hide from everyone, but we know deep down inside we possess them. And the only way you can break that yoke is to give that yoke to Jesus. So Daniel was doing that now on behalf of his people. Daniel was not being pretentious. He's not standing before God to say, you know what, we really all that not that bad, God. You know, we've done some bad things and we've done some good things, but we're not all that bad. No, Daniel's just being very honest with God. Daniel said, you know what, we've messed up. We've disobeyed God's law. We've disobeyed the instructions of Moses. We've done it. Daniel now is being the bridge. He's being the bridge between what is right and what has been wrong. He is standing in the gap to hold up a bridge on behalf of his people, because they cannot hold up it on their own. They're in a position that their words will not go as far as the ceiling. And you know why? Because they refuse to confess their sin. They refuse to admit their guilt. And they refuse to acknowledge that God is creator of heaven and earth, and that he has the ability to forgive them. They figure, I will do things now on my own. But they continue to have bad results. They've been taken captive. They're in exile. And even in exile, they don't find the wherewithal to obey God. You ever see, ever been with a kid, a little kid, you put them on punishment, you say, hey, you're on punishment now because you've done something that is not correct. You're wrong. Now I put you on punishment to improve your behavior. But you ever see that kid actually on punishment do the same thing over and over again? You ever see the kid on punishment just continue to do the thing that put him in punishment in the first place? And then you look at him and say, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing the thing that put you on punishment? Why wouldn't you just stop? Guess what? That's what we do. And that's what now has been done. But it's becoming to a point now that it's habitual. It's a habit. And when habits are rooted and grounded deep into your DNA, that's why it's hard for a smoker to stop smoking. They need help. That's why it's hard for a person who's been drinking to stop drinking, because they need help. It's not that they don't want to stop. They need help to stop. They need an intercessor. They need a bridge. They need help to cross them over from where they are to where they need to be. They realize that the state that they're in, it's impossible for them to do it now on their own. Yes, they need to cross over. No matter how small it is, they need to cross over. Everybody has their own cross. But sometimes somebody else has to carry that cross for you to recognize that you have a cross. That's what Daniel has done. I think I ended at verse 13. Verse 14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is what? A righteous in all his works, which he has done. For we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown as at this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open my eyes and behold our desolation, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not from thine own sake, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. Daniel's at the point now that he's pleading. He said, don't forget us. We are your children. Don't neglect us. We were called by you, and you proclaimed us. You restored us. You brought us out of Egypt. Don't leave us here in this state. Verse 20. And while I was speaking, every time I read this, I get chills. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and representing my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of God, of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and informed me. And he did what with him? Talk with me. And said, O Daniel, I am come forth to give thee skill and understanding. When you're sincere and you are availing your spirit and your consciousness and not being pretentious to God, God will hear and answer your prayer.
Amen.
I can't tell you how he's going to answer it. I can't tell you what he's going to do in his answer, but he's going to answer it. He's going to deliver you, and first he's going to deliver you where? In your mind. Because if your mind's not right, you won't order your steps. If your mind is not right, you can't summon the petitions of your heart. If your mind's not right, you just talk. You don't know what you're saying. But he came to him, and the Bible says that while he was praying. Have you ever heard God answer your prayer while you were praying? Have you ever heard God come to you and answer your prayer? Sometimes. If you recall the times that he has answered you while you were praying or immediately after you had prayed, you may not have prayed the same prayer that Daniel prayed, but the components of the prayer would be similar. Let me tell you a couple components of the prayer that would be similar. First of all, you acknowledge your sinfulness. You may not have prayed, it took me 7-8 minutes to read this. You may not have said the same words, but in essence, you say, God, I messed up. That's all you need. Michael asked me the other day, we were coming from the church last night, and going to the church last night, and it looked like it was a terrible storm. And the Hudson River was just like, it looked dark. It was turning over and over and over. And he says, Daddy, if we're in a storm, do we have to pull over? I would want to pull over and just stop and just kneel down and start praying, but we may not have time to do that. What do we do? I said, all you have to do is say Jesus. All you have to do is say Jesus. See, Jesus have many different meanings. I can say Jesus on graduation day. It means thank you. I graduated. Jesus, he answered a prayer. Thank you. I can see something devastating about to happen. Elder Simmons about to walk in front of a car. Jesus. That means stop. Jesus can mean many different things. But see, if you don't know to know, you don't know how to know. And at this point, you know what? Psalm says, I forgot what the verse says, there's no fool like an old fool. I'm paraphrasing. Okay? There's no fool like an old fool. So the first thing you have to do is acknowledge our sinfulness. We have sinned and done wrong and wickedly and rebelled. This is Daniel verse 5, chapter 9. Sin suggests missing the mark, doing wrong. It points to a deliberate falsehood and rearrangement of moral pointers. You acted wickedly. Okay? We have not listened to your servants in verse 6. Sometimes you're given a warning. Someone comes and tells you, hey, stop, beware of dog. This guy across the street have pit bulls. You know that? Very bad pit bulls across the street. Wednesday night prayer meeting, I don't park on the other side of the street. I park on this side of the street. One day he had the pit bulls out, and the pit bulls were against the fence so hard. I said, you know what, that dog may come through the fence. And I'm of the mindset, I can hop in my car faster on this side of the street than on that side of the street if the dog come through the fence. Okay? You don't have to tell me twice to beware of dog, but that's what the Lord does with us. He says, beware. There is a ditch. Beware. There is a hole. Beware. There is danger. But you know what? Sometimes we walk right into it. Eyes wide open. The second part of this prayer is that we acknowledge our predicament in the face of God's holiness. Prayer is speaking to God as to a friend. But that does not make God our equal. I'll say that again. We speak to God as a friend, but it doesn't make God our equal. To him belongs righteousness, and to us confusion of face. You know what Daniel was describing in verse 7? Confusion of face. You say one thing and you instantaneously do another. Lord Jesus, please order my word, and then you curse out the person next to you. Lord Jesus, please help me not to take that sniff, and then you got, you're just rolling it. You smoking. Please help me not to take that drink, and it's hard because sin is addictive. People don't believe it, but it is addictive. And the third part, and the most powerful part of a prayer of intercession, is that it must acknowledge God's delivering power. The sojourn in Babylon is only a detour caused by Israel's sin. God recognizes true confession and genuine repentance. He hears sincere prayers for his own sake. Let's reread verses 16 and 18. O Lord, according to thy righteousness. He didn't call his righteousness. He said, thy righteousness. I beseech thee. Let thine anger and thy fury be returned, turn away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. And therefore, O our God, hear the prayers of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. For the Lord's sake. This is interesting. You know why Daniel probably said that? Not for my sake, but for the Lord's sake, because you're his. We're his. And we're a bad witness for him for us to be in this condition. We're meant to be the head, not the tail. Okay? Amen. He doesn't want us to be in that condition. So while he was praying, Daniel's prayer is answered. The purpose of the intercessor is for us to cross over our iniquities, to bring our fellow man over their troubles. And guess what? You can take them, but you can't keep them. You can pray for them, but you can't save them. Only God can do that. But you can connect them to the power. You can connect them to the resource that can restore them.
Amen.
That's what the intercessory prayer does. We're 7 months into this year. Our theme is watch and pray. Jesus is coming again. And we must look at the aspect of prayer, not just praying, but we must look at the aspect of prayer as uniting and providing. Now, sometimes you may not be able to find an intercessor because you may feel yourself totally disconnected from God. But guess what? Jesus will pray for you.
Amen.
I'll say that again. Jesus will pray for you. I'll end this message here this morning with one story. This story is about a person who was a leader in Israel. A person who was somewhat of a ruler in Israel. A person who was called by God, divinely appointed by God, instructed by God, harnessed by God, and ordered by God. But yet, he had done and slipped so far away from God that he revealed precious hidden secrets that he was never supposed to. And he found himself on the last day of his life in living hell. And he says, "Dear God, if you just for this one moment restore me, for this one moment reinvigorate me, for this one moment reestablish your covenant relationship with me, I will go out and destroy all these people along with myself." And that person is Samson. Samson killed more people on the last day of his life than he killed his entire life. He had messed up royally. Samson was a judge. Samson had taken the Nazirite vow. The Nazirite vow is that you don't eat unclean foods. You don't drink unclean drinks. His hair was never supposed to be cut. He's supposed to be well kept. He was never supposed to co-mingle with people who are not part of the divine remnant people, his nation. His parents asked him, can't you find any woman here amongst our own kindred and brethren for you to marry? But you know what? God gives us all freedom of choice. And he chose what he had chosen. But you know, many times the consequences of our decision isn't seen until far, far down the line. But you guess what? God never left Samson. And he will never leave you.
Amen.
Samson didn't say the same words that Daniel has stated, but he covered the same points. He acknowledged his sinfulness, number one. He recognized that he had done this continuously in his iniquity over and over. But he had recognized that Jesus, God himself, had the ultimate power to forgive, restore, and reestablish his covenant relationship with him. And because of God's character, and the promise of Jesus Christ, his son, not looking upon himself, he looked to him and he was saved. That should give us all hope. We may not walk with Jesus like Enoch did and be translated like Elijah. We may not be as faithful as Daniel. Many of us are as sinful as Samson. But guess what? All of them will be around the welcome table. Amen? And it's because they believed and they were able to connect to God through intercessory prayer. Today, I'm not sure where each and any one of you are in your spiritual relationship with Christ, but God is slowly removing his hands from this earth. He's slowly removing his hands from the consciousness of man. He's slowly allowing the devil to reveal who he is. People are killing each other more indiscriminately now just for no reason.
Yep.
And it's scary. Every morning when we have worship, I always pray for safe traveling mercies. I pray for transportation, safe protection until we meet again that evening. Because I don't know what's going to happen. Michael and I were coming back Thursday night from Kids Week here. And this guy came on 787, I think it was right after you passed the bridges to go into Troy, and he cut right across the lane. And Michael said, "Daddy, look it." And I had slowed down. The guy went, even a big tractor trailer, you can see the guy double clutch. And the tractor trailer man got mad because he looked like he began to chase the guy. I said, "Man, let's let them go." You never know. At an instant, things could change. It's imperative to make sure that we're right all the time. Okay? So I'm going to ask you. I'm going to plead with you. Become an intercessor for your family, for your husband, your wife, for your co-workers. Jonah had was called this morning, our Sabbath school, actually to be an intercessor. He was a reluctant intercessor. But I'm asking you to do it for yourself and for your own soul's salvation. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All the way our Savior leads me, I pray to God Jesus that his steps we will follow, his path we shall tread, his promises we shall uphold and believe, and the conviction will emanate through our hearts to be his witnesses. I pray to God Jesus that we will leave here inspired to study more of your word, not just to be entertained, but to be uplifted, to be more like you. I pray that you'll keep us safe. I pray that you'll keep us committed. And I pray for a transformation in my life and all of our lives so that we'll be more reflective of you in character and deed. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dismiss us, Lord, with blessing we pray, as from thy worship we go our ways. Guide in life's conflict all through the day, save in